Welcome into the Nashville Soccer Show. Playoff time for Nashville SC and a big one coming up this weekend against the Philadelphia Union for the right to be one step away from MLS Cup. Alongside Davey Shepherd and Lucas Panzeca, I'm Will Bowling. Podcast only this weekend, and we are grateful to be back and talking about the beautiful game with you. What's going on, boys? It's been a minute.
Yeah, been a minute. Glad to catch back up. It's an exciting week to be a Nashville SC fan. Dominant win over Orlando City, a team a lot of people were very scared to play against in the playoffs. And heading into Philly this week. So glad to be here. Good to catch back up with you guys.
Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. It was a great crowd, good environment, given how cold it was in Nissan Stadium. Freezing temperatures, but they broke a record for the season in attendance, over 26,000. They were loud, and the team responded, foot on the gas for 90 minutes, which is essentially what we've been asking of this team at several moments throughout the year, right? So you couldn't ask for a better start to their postseason run.
No doubt about it. The second half against Orlando, guys. Let's start here in the way that Nashville SC beats Orlando City 3-1. They fall behind early. And, guys, this is what I've been warning everyone about for a couple months, that if you give up an early set-piece goal in the playoffs, it was going to be so much harder to come back against a good defensive team that was going to sit back against you. And then Hani Mukhtar has an MVP moment, a couple of MVP moments, really. And Nashville SC only gives up one more shot on goal after the goal that Gerald Dike scores off the corner kick. They said, "Will, no one cares what you think. We're just going to go ahead and still have our worst weakness and then come back and win the game."
Yeah, they did. It was your exact playbook, Will, for the disaster for Nashville Soccer Club. And luckily for all the fans out there, it wasn't the way that it went. I mean, Mukhtar was just unbelievably good. But look, a few other guys that stood out off the lineup for me, Walker Zimmerman, as usual, very, very solid at the back. I thought Anibal Godoy was maybe the best player not named Hani Mukhtar the other day. I thought he was very, very good in the middle. Mm-hmm. And in those tough, tight games where there's some pretty rough fouls and there's some back and forth, I just think he's indispensable, Anibal Godoy.
And Lucas, without his interception, Hani Mukhtar doesn't score that goal in the first half. It was him that created a 3-on-2 and a deflection. And you can call it luck or whatever it is, but when you win the ball that high up the pitch, you create your own luck. And that's how Nashville SC tied this thing in the first half.
Yeah, and Orlando felt like it was garnering pretty good control of the game at that point, already up 1-0. Obviously, they had the possession, but it did feel like they had some purpose with that possession. And then Godoy picks out the perfect moment to dispossess, I believe, Junior Urso near midfield. And Hani Mukhtar, you know, it's a deflection, but hey, put it on goal, take a chance, and maybe something will happen. And that's what happened as it went into the back of the net. And from then on, you just felt like Nashville had all the momentum and they really didn't relinquish it at any point. I agree with you, Davey. Godoy was so key for 90 minutes. And then I think that was the best performance by Jack Mayer in a Nashville shirt. You've got Walker Zimmerman putting in an MLS Defender of the Year type performance. Obviously, Hani Mukhtar putting in an MVP type performance. There was really no drop-off, right? There was no weakness on any part of the field for Nashville. Even Eric Miller held his own. He did what he was asked to do, coming in with Dave Romney not fit to play. So that was a playoff type performance that really, I think, put kind of the rest of the league on notice.
And guys,
It
was interesting, just real quick, the way that Nashville organized its back three without having Dave Romney in there, because you get a guy in Jack Mayer who's naturally a right-footed guy, typically your right center back, you move him to left, and instead of Alistair Johnston playing the right wing back position, with Eric Miller as the right center back, the what we've seen over the entire season, I think Gary Smith noticed that Alistair Johnston has been outstanding as a right center back for Canada, the top of CONCACAF right now in World Cup qualifying. He puts him in that new position to him that he's becoming so much more natural in. And Eric Miller put in a good shift. It worked flawlessly for the Nashville defense.
And go ahead, Davey.
No, I think you're exactly right. And it put Miller in, I think, the best chance to succeed that we've seen him in quite some time. I think fans get frustrated when you see a guy come into a back lineup, a back line that's been so good, and then he comes in and for whatever reason, it's just not the same, right? And part of that's on Eric Miller, part of that's on just the opponent. It could be any different thing. Gary put Miller in a chance to succeed. He put the team in a chance to succeed. And like you said, Lucas, I don't think he did more than I think he did more than just hang around. I think he it was probably his best performance in a Nashville shirt the other day. I thought he was very, very good. It looks like Dave Romney will be back. We can touch on some of Gary Smith's comments in a minute. And I think everyone should be pleased that Dave Romney will be back. But Eric Miller did himself well the other day. I was happy for him.
Well, and how much easier is that for Eric Miller or even Alistair Johnson to be able to perform their roles with knowing how dominant Walker Zimmerman is in the middle of that back line? He was exceptional on Tuesday night. I can pick out one mistake Zimmerman made. I think at some point, maybe midway through the first half, where he kind of stepped a little bit, trying to sweep a ball out on the edge of the box, miscalculated it. It bounces in. And I think Alistair Johnson came in for cover to prevent, you know, no harm, no foul. But otherwise, you look at the second minute, the way he dispossessed DK basically on the goal line and then was able to work his way up the sideline, dribble past somebody, and then a line-breaking pass down the left flank, I think, to CJ Sapong to spring an attack. Walker Zimmerman was phenomenal on Tuesday night.
He was excellent, and I think that's as good of a half as we've seen all season. Because that second half, if they play that way for 90 minutes, I tweeted this out as soon as the game ended, if they play that way for 90 minutes against Philly, we are here talking about an Eastern Conference final next week, yes?
If they play the way they played that second half, I just don't really know who I think can beat this team. I think they were organized. Yeah. I think they were dangerous. I've said all along that I think New England is just one of the better matchups in the league for Nashville. I think the style of play suits Nashville's game. And I picked Nashville to get to the MLS Cup final. Part of that based on I just think the series of matchups look good. And we said it in the group chat, Lucas. You can vouch for this. We said they'll either lose to Orlando or they'll get to the cup final.
Right.
And, they've done what I was a little bit worried about and beat Orlando. And now I just think it's kind of there's some good teams left. Don't get me wrong. All three of the teams left in the East are very, very good. I don't worry about those matchups like I did with Orlando. With the injuries you see in New York City, who I think still has a very good chance against New England, and Philadelphia in particular. Nashville played Philadelphia off the field at home. Go to Philadelphia and lose without Walker Zimmerman, without Hany Mukhtar, I believe without Dax McCarty. And so it's just hard to even rate what that performance was without those guys away to Philadelphia. Still lose 1-0, I believe, off of a free kick goal.
Looking at that second half performance that we're all talking about here, I think – one major difference in the first and second half is the uptick in CJ Sapong's performance. Cause I did think he was one player that had a tough first half. I don't know. He just maybe didn't look as prepared. His touch was a little bit heavy. His runs weren't as calculated. I thought he looked a little off in the first half. He came out swinging out of the locker room. And I'll point to this quote post game from Gary Smith. When he was asked about Hany Mukhtar, he said, "Very good players are able to make space to affect the game and score under immense pressure. That's the ability of these elite players. We need to affect the game in other areas to offer Hany a bit of space." And I think about what CJ Sapong did on that second goal of the game by Hany Mukhtar to go up 2-1, winning the ball, holding it up just enough to exchange with Hany, and then his run into the box to pull defenders away and create just enough space at the top of the box for Hany Mukhtar. Poor defending from Orlando. It felt like they had more attention on CJ Sapong's run to the back post than they did on the MVP candidate surging into the box on the dribble. But I thought that was a good example from Gary Smith about creating space for Hany Mukhtar. He doesn't need much of it. CJ Sapong at his best does that better than anybody on this team in the final third. Nashville needs him to be in good form consistently down the stretcher. He wasn't so much in the first half. Man, did he bounce back in the second before being subbed off. He was critical in that second half surge.
He really was critical, and I think his diagonal run that opened up the space and attracted the second center back, allowing Hany Mukhtar, who has a really good weak foot, to get onto his left foot. He's five-star weak foot on FIFA for a reason, guys. I mean, come on. Gets on his left foot, slots it home. It's in you go. The defender still gets nutmegged in the process. It's horrific defending by a Orlando City backline that was good throughout this game, but the hold-up play for CJ Sapong to come back to the ball, to chest it down, to play two passes back and forth with Hany Mukhtar, and then to make that run. It was 2-on-5 for Nashville SC. And that is why CJ Sapong and Hany Mukhtar have continued this partnership over the course of this season. That's why Nashville SC is a major threat to win MLS Cup. That partnership right there is as good as any attack partnership in the league. There's no question about it. When CJ Sapong plays like that, Nashville SC can beat itself on a corner kick and still win by two goals against a really good team. And how about Yonder Cadiz, by the way? Look, did Yonder Cadiz just give himself a contract to Nashville in this game? I honestly think he might have. This is what we've wanted to see from Yonder Cadiz. One ball over the top from Joe Willis. He shoulders off a guy. He slots it home like he did for Dijon against PSG in the Coupe de la Ligue in France. Like, where's that been, Yonder?
Yeah, I think as far as new contract goes, and I know part of that was being facetious, but I think
kind of
they're going to have to come down on the price, right? Because yeah, there's no way you can keep that guy around on a DP level contract. So, but look, I'm thrilled for the guy. It was a very, very nice play there at the end. And like you said, it's just the opposite of what we've seen for him for so long. Really, really happy for Yonder. Thought it was a nice play. Again, hold the ball up well. Lucas, you mentioned it. CJ looked a little iffy there for some moments in the first half. I've kind of said all year, I think he's one of those guys that really relies on just momentum. And I think just the long break, we've seen him look kind of a little bit slow out of the gates coming out of the break so far this year. It didn't necessarily surprise me, but I'm thrilled with how fast he kind of clicked it back into gear. I expect him to be in peak performance on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody on this team has a better feel for how to direct Hany Mukhtar into the perfect amount of space than CJ Sapong. And the perfect example of that was in the goal that we're talking about here, that second goal that put Nashville up. So they need him to be in good form throughout the postseason, in my opinion, to make a push.
So, guys, when you put in perspective how well Nashville SC played defensively against Orlando, look no further than Daryl DK's stats. Of course, he scores the goal in the first half to give Orlando the lead. He's the future at that position for the United States, along with Ricardo Pepi. In this entire game, lost possession 10 times, won three ground duels and seven, or won four out of seven aerial duels. You know how many touches he had in this game? Played 90 minutes and had 24 touches over the entire game. That is a tiny, tiny number. That's like Arsenal against Liverpool losing 4-0 with Aubameyang about a week ago. That is a very, very small number for one of the biggest, most physical, most talented strikers in MLS, completely pocketed by Walker Zimmerman, Alistair Johnston, and Jack Mayer. I don't think we give those guys enough credit because they still are giving up some soft goals that Nashville didn't give up last year. These are still the same players in the run of play. They're still not giving up anything cheap to elite attacking players in MLS. And now they just have to beat a Philly team that last time, off of a handball in the box from Taylor Washington, scored a goal 1-0 to beat this team on a penalty kick. Nobody can score run of play goals against this Nashville team.
It's tough. And it makes you wonder then why set piece defending has been such an issue all year when they're so good aerially, right? I mean, nobody can beat Walker Zimmerman to a ball in the air. Gary Smith called him a ball magnet. I love that. That was strength on strength, right? Big physical presence up front against big physical presence in the back. And Walker Zimmerman won every single battle against Daryl DK, man. He is turning into a superstar in this league. If he's not already, he's the defending MLS Defender of the Year. He's entrenched his role with the U.S. men's national team. But Alistair Johnston and Jack Mayer, again, huge praises for those guys. I'll say it again. Mayer was fantastic. But Walker Zimmerman is the driving force of that back line, obviously. And it's been fun to watch his game develop over the course of the season. I feel like he's better now than he was back in March as far as what he does after winning the ball for Nashville. So, he was fantastic, man. He continues to be a superstar. This team, I mean, suddenly has superstars, right, at the MLS level. Hany Mukhtar is an MVP candidate. Zimmerman is arguably the best defender in the league. Joe Willis, a finalist for goalkeeper of the year. We've talked about the impact that Anibal Godoy and CJ Sapong, both veteran guys that have been in this league a long time. This team is straight up has superstars at almost every level in the context of MLS. And when you look at it, that can be a recipe for a championship. That's why we've been saying this team is capable of it all season long. And we're just seeing it now.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we say this all the time. When teams make long runs in the playoffs, no matter the sport, it's always the team that has their best players being their best players. And that's what you're seeing in Nashville right now. Mukhtar's playing the best soccer of his career. Zimmerman's playing the best soccer of his career. Alistair Johnston, the best soccer of his very young career. And these guys are just growing. And I think Nashville fans, you got to appreciate these guys while they're here. I think specifically when you look at like a guy like Alistair Johnston, I think Nashville will be lucky to hold on to him through the winter. Walker and Hani, a little bit different. They're a little bit older, those guys. But Alistair in particular, he's one of those ones that I think just has Europe written all over him very, very soon. And look, this is just part of growing as a young soccer team, playing well. Already the first expansion side ever, Nashville, to win two playoff games. Or win playoff games in two seasons in a row. I think very solidly puts themselves in the kind of bracket up there with Chicago in 98 and with Atlanta just a few years ago as the best expansion sides ever. And look, so it just comes down to Philly next week, like we talked about, kind of shifting gears and looking towards that game. Dave Romney looks to be back. Gary says he's looked really, really good in training the last few days, that he's very confident that he'll be in the group come Sunday. That's good. Good sign for Nashville. I mean, this is the guy who up until last game of the season had played every minute for the club ever at MLS level. You hate to see that break, but it's important to get him back for the playoffs, for the stretch run. Philadelphia's a good side. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I think they're a very, very good team. They've played well all year. Finished ahead of Nashville for a reason, because they're a good soccer team. But I just like this matchup. I think a healthy Nashville is just the hardest out that there is in soccer. And it's funny, on a weekend, sorry, a midweek, where you see Real Salt Lake kind of sell out, not a single shot on goal through 120 minutes of soccer, you still just kind of hear the league heads talk. And it's like, you'd think that's what Nashville was doing. And it's just so ignorant. It isn't what they are at all. And I look forward to watching Nashville play well against Philly this weekend.
It is strength on strength in every way. Nashville tied for a league low 33 goals allowed. Philly finished just two behind them with 35. Both teams have some of the best center backs in the league, with Walker Zimmerman, with McKenzie for Philadelphia, of course. They've got veteran captains in MLS, Alejandro Bedoya for Philadelphia. Of course, a World Cup guy for the United States, Dax McCarty. But Nashville's 0.88 goals against per game on the road this year was the best in MLS and the fourth best mark in league history. Guys, you've got to think that if this team avoids the calamitous goals that they've conceded at points this season, Nashville should be the favorite in this game. I wholeheartedly believe that, against a Philadelphia team that does not have a lot of playoff winning in their history. And guys, I think a lot of people in this city take for granted what Nashville is able to do in its first ever playoffs last year. Philadelphia won their first playoff match 2 years ago. This team's been around a whole lot longer than Nashville SC, and they won their first ever playoff match in 2019. They were in CCL last year. I just think this Nashville team, coming off that half against Orlando, if they don't give up a penalty or a free kick or a corner kick, I like Nashville to win this game.
It's going to be a battle. I mean, these are two teams pushing for history. You talk about what Philadelphia Union has done in recent years with their supporter shield. Well, they're coming off a thrilling 1-0 win over Red Bulls, where a 123rd minute goal was the latest goal in MLS history in extra time. Glesnes, an absolute rocket, a center back with a rocket on a rebound from like 35 yards out. Crazy game with chances galore. It's amazing that game was scoreless so late. Andre Blake, one of the best goalkeepers in MLS. When you look at two teams, the defensive stature between Nashville and Philadelphia, the goalkeepers are going to be huge in this game. And you say strength on strength, it's the same thing with the guys between the pipes and Joe Willis and Andre Blake, obviously the starter for Jamaica, who the U.S. just saw a couple weeks ago. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a battle. Both teams looking for their first Eastern Conference final ever. So on the road too, probably going to be freezing cold, you would imagine, on Sunday. I don't know if this is going to be the prettiest game to watch, but I think we're going to be thoroughly entertained here.
Bit of short rest for Nashville, just I think two extra days for Philadelphia. The good news is, if you go out and win this one, New England plays on Tuesday, you will be the team getting the two extra days of rest heading into the Eastern Conference Finals the following weekend. So everything left to play for Nashville. Gary Smith's got him right where they want him. And look, we've praised a lot of people. We haven't really mentioned his name much today. Gary Smith has just done a remarkable job through these last 2 years. You can talk whatever you want about the style of play and not attacking enough and blah, blah, blah. The first expansion side ever to win playoff games in back-to-back years. It's not an accident. He's doing a very, very good job with this group of players. He's taking guys that all these other teams missed out on. Walker Zimmerman, Bob Bradley said he wasn't good enough. Let's move him. Don't need him. Hani Mukhtar, all kinds of teams didn't even look at the guy. Randall Ayala, a guy, again, they get on first. Mike Jacobs and Gary Smith have done a very good job putting this side together. And we'll see on Sunday if it's good enough to get to the first ever Eastern Conference final for Nashville SC.
If you need any more context in what Nashville SC is doing and how special it is, Bob Bradley was just fired by LAFC a couple of years after leading that side of MLS.
I think technically he was out of contract. Sure. They didn't extend his contract, yes.
Right. You have Atlanta, who now in 2 years that Nashville has been in existence, has not won a single playoff game. They weren't even in it last year. They lose in their first game this year against New York City, who looms on the other side of the bracket. You've just got teams everywhere. Inter Miami. I mean, Austin FC, for crying out loud. When Austin came here to Nashville at the beginning of the summer, all the talk for that national TV game was, oh, Austin is following the Nashville method. They've been more pragmatic. They're defending well. They're going after it. Look what Austin did this year. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nashville has put itself in the conversations with the Sporting KC, with the Portland, with the Seattle, with the staple teams in this league who have been around to build a foundation for about three or four times longer than Nashville has been in existence. It goes back to Mike Jacobs' history with Sporting KC. That is the comp I still continue to see for Nashville. They've built the way Kansas City has, and Kansas City, as we always know, is always right there in the mix in the Western Conference.
By the way, Bob Bradley snatched up pretty quickly by Toronto FC. That didn't take long. Also, I just saw this as we do our little MLS breaking news blurb. Nani announces he's leaving Orlando City. Mm. So short run there. He didn't have too much of an impact in Nissan Stadium.
Rui Diaz from Seattle seemed to be saying goodbye on Instagram yesterday as well, saying he would always love Seattle and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. So, always a lot of changes in this league. That's the way it goes. I'm glad to not have to look for roster decisions yet for Nashville SC because they play on.
Look, my sort of parting note on this, I think this game is won in transition on Sunday. It's just Nashville's been so well drilled, so organized all season long. I think it's just like you said, Will, strength on strength. Whichever team wins that battle, you know, Philadelphia, they can't go through Nashville. I think they know that. So it's going to be interesting to see how they try to attack from the sides. I think that's what's going to happen here. And set pieces, you know, we're going to have our eyes peeled, everybody holding their breath on every single free kick, corner kick. And you imagine this team is talking about that incessantly because it feels like the one recipe for disaster, right? The one thing that can really hold this team back on an MLS Cup final run. But I think this game is one in transition. It's about who's more organized, who's more disciplined and quicker on the break. And we've seen Nashville can win that battle.
And Philadelphia, you mentioned transition, allowed just 12.9 expected goals in transition all season, which was second best in MLS. I think this has the feelings of a 1-0 game. I'm going to take Nashville 1-0.
Well, both games this season were 1-0 between the two.
Yeah. I'm going to take Nashville 1-0. I think this comes down to a Walker Zimmerman set piece moment. It's been a couple of weeks since we've seen one of those. The guy is always in and around the box every time there's a free header. Nashville should have had a first half set piece goal on a cross that was just barely missed. So give me Nashville 1-0. Give me a Walker Zimmerman corner kick header in the second half. Send a Nashville on.
I like Nashville. I like Nashville maybe 2-0, 2-1. I just think they're playing so well right now. I think Red Bulls are right there with it. I mean, anytime a game goes to 123rd minute for a winner, obviously the other team's right there in it.
Right.
I don't think Red Bulls were particularly good in that game. Philadelphia wasn't much better. A lot of minutes on those legs already, even though they get the two extra days of rest. I look for Hani Mukhtar to get off to a fast start, and I think Nashville gets ahead in this one and hangs on.
I agree with Gary Smith that any other league in the world, I guess I agree with him. It's a fact that any other league in the world, Nashville would be hosting this game. But MLS, of course, does wins over seeding as far as who gets to host postseason games, which is interesting. This is an interesting league. But on the road, frigid conditions, I think Nashville gets it done in penalties. I think I'm just going to keep predicting penalties until it happens because something about this team, and I know how good they are in the attack and how underrated that part of their game is, but something about this team makes me think they're going to put us through a penalty shootout at some point in the postseason if they're going to make it to the MLS Cup final. And look, I think this is a tougher matchup for Nashville on paper than New England Revolution is. I really do. And if it's going to be penalty kick shootout, I think it's 1-1, and it comes at Philadelphia Union, and Nashville pulls it out.
Going to be a fun one. I had Nashville in extra time against Orlando. They didn't need it then, so maybe they'll need it now, just like they did this same stage against Toronto a season ago. All right, guys. Good show. Fun to talk with you guys again. We will be back at it again next week to recap whatever happens. Hopefully, we're getting you ready for an Eastern Conference final. Real quick on the way out, guys, we haven't had a show since Dos Aceros. or since the Jamaica chaos as well, I just have to raise my hand and admit that every time I've lost a game on FIFA to someone with a Mexico badge over the past couple weeks, I've just messaged them Dos Acero out of rage and then just continued on with my life. Been a nice little couple weeks of gloating for us U.S. soccer fans.
Well, we did have our Speedway Soccer live show last Thursday where we went into full depth with Jonathan Slate, myself, and Ben Wright with that game and the Jamaica game. But you're right. Us three have not been together since then. Also, we'll talk about Ralph Rangnick to Man United. We'll do that at some point.
Eventually. Eventually. Slate, the CONCACAF king. We love yes. to, we love to love name it. Drop him on here. All right, boys. Fun to chat again. Nashville SC and Philly, Eastern Conference semifinal this weekend. We will recap it all next week here in the Nashville Soccer Show.